Greetings, friends. Thank you for joining us on the Southland Podcast. Today's message was preached in 2004 at the men's session of Family Camp. The speaker is Dr. Carl Herbster. His message is entitled, The Best Way to Love Your Wife.
You to turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. We're going to have a couple sessions together here this week, just as men. And I guess if I were going to give you a theme for both sessions, it would be in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. Another good verse for us as husbands to memorize, but I'll have us read it together, make a few comments about it, and then we'll try to put it to practice in our lives as husbands. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. Let's read it together. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. The key phrase is dwell with your wife according to knowledge. In other words, get to know your wife. Get to know her interests, get to know her needs, get to know what makes her unique as a woman. Now, that also means that we have to understand the difference between men and women. There is a difference between men and women. And let's make sure we keep that difference in our society. God created them male and female. Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. You know, two guys, I mean, we're in a confused society. We understand that there's a clear distinction. Not just physically is there a clear distinction, but emotionally there's a clear distinction as well. And in our society, there should be a clear distinction. Socially, there should be a clear distinction. And we should dwell with our wives according to knowledge. Now, here it says that the wife is the weaker vessel. Some in our society don't want to accept that either, but my wife likes to say it this way. She has some wonderful illustrations. She says, ladies are fine china, where men are just old coffee mugs. Now, if you know the difference between a coffee mug and fine china, you know, coffee mug, you can drop it on the floor, it bounces back up to you almost, right? It's not that real fragile, very versatile, you know, strong and mighty and, you know, massive, that kind of thing. But fine china, it was very fragile, very valuable, something that needs TLC. You know, you drop a fine china on the floor and you've destroyed it and you've hurt it and you've lost a lot of dollars and cents. An old coffee mug, if you haven't break it, fine. I got another one somebody will give me. I mean, I got all kinds of coffee mugs. And you know, we as men, we should be that type of strong leader where our wives are that weaker vessel, but very valuable, very beautiful, very precious. And we need to dwell with our wives according to knowledge, that we might be able to give honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. And so as we talk about our responsibility as husbands, as we talk about what we need to be, we need to make sure that we're trying to do that in dwelling according to knowledge. It's one thing to know the difference between men and women, coffee mugs and fine china. But there are different kinds of coffee mugs and there are different kinds of fine china. And you probably have a cupboard full of a lot of different coffee mugs. I do too, because people know I enjoy drinking coffee, so I get all kinds of them. You hear Southland, you notice that Nana has my coffee mug out there. You know, and that's not because that one is anything something special, except that it's big. That's what I like, the fact that I don't have to go back quite as often. I can just put it all in there and I can get my fix early in the morning and be done. You know, I'm in taking care of that big coffee cup I can take back to my room. There's also different kinds of fine china. I'm learning that more and more and more as another teacup or coffee cup. You know, my wife had, I mean, we've got a cupboard full of them. So even though, you know, we're different as men and women, we're also different as men, and our wives are different. And my job in life is not to get to know your wife and all her uniqueness. My job in life is to get to know my wife and all her uniqueness. Her job is not have to live with other men. She has to live with you. And so, therefore, yes, we need to know in general What are the characteristics of men? What are the characteristics of women? What motivates men? What motivates women? Now, what are the concerns to men? What are the concerns to women? But we also need to get very specific and say, what is it that I need to know about my wife that'll help me to be able to be a better husband to her? What is it about my husband that'll help her to be a better wife to my husband? What is it that he desires? What is it that she desires? We need to dwell with our wives according to knowledge. And hopefully this week you're going to have some time to be alone and have some good discussion and have some good time with each other one-on-one as we have counselors taking the children. Take that time to try to be able to get to know one another even better so that you can serve the Lord together better in the days to come. Now with that in mind, with that overriding theme of 1 Peter 3 and verse 7, I want you to turn back to Ephesians chapter 5. Because as we have these two sessions, we're going to be dealing with two different responsibilities that we have as husbands. Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll start reading in verse 21. Ephesians 5 and verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. I start there because sometimes the only thing we can think about as husbands is our wives are supposed to submit to us. Remember something about your wife. She's not only your wife, but she's also your sister in Christ. And we should be bearing one another's burdens. We should be exhorting one another. And we should be submitting one to another as brothers and sisters in Christ. So keep that in mind and don't lord over your wife. But then he gets specific about the marriage relationship. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. My wife has my notes that I've told her what she needs to tell those ladies about. No, she really has her own. But, she's going to be talking to the ladies this week about their role and their responsibility. And I believe my wife is a tremendous example of that. And I think she'll do a wonderful job sharing the proper balance in that relationship. But then it goes on, says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, this talks about our responsibility to be the head of our home, to be the leader in our home. Keep your finger here. Do you know how to keep your finger places? That's an important skill in Bible study. You know how to keep your finger someplace. Keep your finger here. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Look what it says in verse 3. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3. But I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. God gives his line of authority for mankind here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. And God says that the head of every man is who? Christ. The head of the woman is who? Man. And the head of Christ is who? God. Now let me remind you of something. Even though God is over Jesus Christ was one with God. Right? Okay. Even though the man is over the woman is one with the man. The two became one flesh. And so understand that in this leading responsibility that, yes, I am to be the leader of my home. I'm the spiritual leader. I'm the head. But my wife is one with me. This isn't lording over my wife. This is leading my wife. We're going to talk about that more in session number two, because I want us to go on and see the second aspect of what our responsibility is, because it says in verse 25, read it with me if you would please, of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, if you kept your finger there, you're right back. If you didn't, you're trying to flip feverishly, get back. Well, I told you to keep your finger there. Ephesians 5, 25, together. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, this is our responsibility as husbands as well, not only to lead our wives, but to love our wives. And I find that this is the one we maybe struggle with the most, and it's why I'm going to give it first priority. And that way, if we have to spend more time on it, next time we get together, we will, because I find that maybe we've learned how to lead our wives, but we haven't learned how to lovingly lead our wives. You know, we just have a tendency to lord over them sometimes instead of love them as Christ loved the church. Let me ask you, was Jesus Christ the head of the church? Is he a great leader for us? But he is a loving leader because he gave himself for the church. Love is giving. Love is not getting. Love is giving. And our tendency sometimes as men, and I is one, so I know what we're like, is to get instead of give. And it's easy for us to give when we're getting, but when we're not getting, sometimes it's not easy for us to give. But the responsibility of the Lord was he gave first. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait till we were doing the right things. He didn't wait till we gave to him for him to give to us. He gave to us, and then we love him because he first loved us. We respond to his love in service. That's exactly the way it needs to be with our wives. You know, we don't wait for our wives to love us for us to love them. We don't wait for our wives to give something to us till we give something to them. We love our wives, and then they respond to us. As we give to our wives love, they will have a desire to respond. God has created them as the responders, just like the church responds to the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. You really find out how much you love your wife when she's not being so lovely. See, we were dirty, rotten sinners when Jesus Christ gave himself for us. So we're supposed to love our wives as Christ loved us. So the time you really prove that you love your wife is when she's not being so lovely. You know what I'm talking about? Please, some of you shake your heads. I don't want to think it just happens with my wife. Sometimes she gets out of sorts, gets moody. As a matter of fact, when I got married, I thought I got a subscription to Moody Monthly because my wife had a lot of struggle with her menstrual cycle and with the period and all that sort of stuff. And nobody ever taught me about that. I wasn't in a home where I was taught that. I made sure my sons had a good understanding. And my wife would sometimes get a little more out of sorts just to demonstrate to the boys what was happening on a monthly basis. It was her teaching tool, right? And I had to help them understand that this is the time of the month. And it was one of those times when you need to be understanding. And different women are different ways in that whole physiological phenomena. But that's something we have to understand. And as a matter of fact, I jokingly said I needed to start keeping a calendar so I could kind of keep track of when that was. Or sometimes she would just say when she's having one of those weepy, and I was just trying to say, what's Debbie? What's she said, don't you know what time of the month it is? No, nobody told me, but now I do, and I would try to be a little more loving because I understood what she was going through and to try to help her through that time and try to give as Christ gave for me and to show love whether she was lovely or not, and then she would respond to it and she would appreciate the fact that I cared for her in that way. Remember, love is giving myself to my wife, expecting nothing in return. That is sacrificial love. Jesus Christ died for the sins of the whole world, and a lot of people reject him. As a matter of fact, his own people crucified him, but he still loved. He wept over Israel. He wept over Jerusalem. And that's the way that we should love as husbands. We should love our wives as Christ loved the church. Now, to accomplish that, we need to dwell with them according to knowledge. And so I want to share with you some things that have been a real help to me on the best way to love your wife. B-E-S-T. I like acrostics. I like alliteration just because of the fact that I can remember things better when it starts with the same letter or when there's a word or something. It helps me. And I'll tell you, in this loving your wife, I mean, you need to have it with you at all times. You may not be able to have always your outline, but you could remember best, B-E-S-T. As a matter of fact, I try to practice this every day with my wife. I try to be the best husband every day, loving my wife. And there's four things that I remember that I try to apply in being somebody that gives to my wife as Christ has given to me. B is bless your wife. B is bless your wife. This means to compliment your wife, to give your wife encouraging words. Bless your wife. Now, you help me. What can you compliment your wife about? Wives have a tendency to have a low self-esteem. Wives have a tendency to not think very highly of themselves. Wives have a tendency to be insecure. They need the approval of their husband. And well, there's some ways that we can compliment them to encourage them throughout the day. What are some ways you can do that? Give me some things you could compliment your wife for. Tell her how nice she looks. Good.
And she did well.
Yeah, those things in the house, maybe taking care of the house or taking care of the kids and the good things she does. Focus on those positive things that she does and compliment her for them. What else? Compliment her for putting up with you. Thank you for loving me and caring for me and helping me. Yeah, the good job she's doing with the children and how you see that, the work that she's doing with the children. Compliment her about that. What else? Things that you can compliment. You see, we have to work at it, don't we? You have to start thinking, now, what am I going to cut? What about the food she cooks for you? I'm telling you, when you get a good meal, do you thank the Lord that your wife was willing to provide that and the fact that she cleans it up and, you know, the fact that she gets up and takes care of the kids and the fact that she's such a good example to your children? And you just go on and on and on with ways that you can compliment your wife. She needs to hear compliments all the time coming from your lips. You know why sometimes women get infatuated with other men? It's not because of the physical area. Now, that's why men get infatuated with other women. I mean, we're motivated by physical. Men are motivated that way. God has made us that way so that we would populate the earth. But women aren't motivated that way. They're motivated by approval. And if your wife is getting the approval from somebody else and they're complimenting them all the time about how kind they are and how gracious they are and how beautiful they are and how nice they are to be with, and boy, I can just talk to you freely and I can just, you know, sometimes men are telling that to the wife or to the woman just because they want to get the physical. And you have to warn women about men that are coming on with all those kindnesses. That's how sometimes women can get caught up and get infatuated with another man. Now, men get it because of the strange woman. I read Proverbs every day, and I read it one of the reasons because it's so practical. It's teaching for young men, but I also read it because it warns me monthly on a regular basis about the strange woman. Because women will try to get you with physical, and you have to be very careful and, you know, gird up the loins of your mind and watch your eye gate and all those other things so that you didn't get caught up. And the Bible warns you about that strange woman that'll try to entice you with the physical, and the next thing you know, it's the ways to death. It'll destroy you. But it's for the woman, for the wife, it's somebody that's paying attention, that's blessing them and giving them attention. And those are the things that we should be giving them, so the wife is always getting their approval from us. And the way we show our wives that we love them is by blessing them. I tell you, I think that when you go home from work, and you're getting ready to go to meet your wife and see the kids. And, you know, I know you've had a long day, and I know you're tired. You probably like a little space, but I'll tell you what, your wife has had a long day too. You know what she needs? She needs somebody to walk in the house and encourage her. And as you're driving home, instead of figuring out what all the ball teams are doing or what's happening in the world in which we live, maybe spend some time in prayer and just get yourself ready to compliment your wife when you walk in the door. Just to come in, "Hun, it's so good to be home. You make our home such a wonderful place. I'm so glad to see you," and give her a big smackaroo. And you'll encourage her. She needs your blessing. And if you love your wife, you need to bless her. Number two, E. You need to edify her. You need to edify her. Now, when we talk about edifying, we're talking about being built up. And here we're talking about spiritually building her up, helping her in her spiritual growth. How are some ways that you could edify your wife as a loving husband? What can you do to edify your wife as a loving husband? Give me some the illustrations. Give me some examples of things that you think you could do as a husband to edify your wife, to build her up. Pray with her. Would you say that again, Gary? Pray with her. Would you say that one more time? Pray with her. If there was one magic pill I could give you for your wives that will change your home, it's to pray with your wife. I cannot explain it, but our wives are encouraged and strengthened when they know that we're men of prayer. And when they know that they can count on us to be seeking God's strength. I went to a couples retreat when we were just fairly, you know, in our first 10 years of marriage. I don't know exactly, a couples retreat at the Wilds. And I heard Dr. Ken Hay speaking, and he said, you know, one thing you ought to do with your wife you know, every day of your life, is you ought to pray with her. And his suggestion was a suggestion that I now give everywhere I go, is before you go to bed at night, pray with your wife. Close every day at prayer. Now, there's several things that happens there. It means that you'll go to bed at the same time, which is important. You know, to be able to start, or at least that you'll maybe pray, and then you'll fall in bed. She may have some other things to do, but at least you're finishing up the day together. And that's very, very important. But it's also because of the fact that you can't go to bed mad at each other when you're going to be praying together. Have you ever tried to pray with somebody that you're out of sorts with? And the only prayer you have is, Lord, get her right, cause her to repent, cause her, you know, and that's really not. But, you know, the Bible says, don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. And so when you choose to pray together, it's hard for you to pray with somebody that you're out of sorts with. And so it makes you get some things right. But it also is a unifying force because of the fact that now your wife knows that you're a man that is seeking after God. And when you pray for her and you pray for the children and you pray for the wisdom and decisions that you're going to make, pray for strength, pray for rest. It's amazing how you can finish out the day and give real confidence to your wife that you're a man of prayer. I would say it'd be a great thing for you to start right here if you've never done it before. I've been doing it now for probably over 20 years, and it's still probably one of the things that my wife comments the most about, that she loves the fact that I pray with her. And maybe we don't pray any other time during the day. Sometimes we do, but many times we don't. But she knows that before we go to bed at night, we're going to pray. I sometimes come home late from a deacon's meeting and hop into bed, and she's already asleep, I think, but I'll just say a prayer out loud anyhow, and you'll be surprised. The number of times she'll just roll over and give me a little hug and a little kiss, and just, I don't even know that she was listening, but that security that's there. And our wives are insecure. And when we pray with them, and we pray about situations that we're facing together, it gives great confidence. So we need to pray with them. And I challenge you, start it. I mean, I can't tell you how it changed our relationship when we started praying together, especially as we prayed together every night before we went to bed. What's something else you could do? Excellent. Encourage her to get involved in some of the things of the church and help her so that she can do that. At the same time, don't let her overcommit. You know, you have to be a protection to your wife. Because sometimes when the preacher's asking the women to do all these things, you may have to be the protection that says, no, you've got enough. And you can be a spiritual encouragement to her by you being the one that says no, instead of her being saying no. It's so comforting for a wife to be under that authority of protection where she can say, my husband won't let me, Pastor. You'll have to talk to my husband. He's not. Hey, hallelujah for husbands that'll protect them. But at the same time, making it available so that they can get involved. And one of the ways you can do that is by being willing to watch the children. How many men don't let their wife go to a ladies' retreat because of the fact that, well, who's going to take care of the kids? Well, hello. Look at yourself. You can do it. As a matter of fact, as the leader, remember, you're responsible for your family. You better find out what's going on with them. So giving her that opportunity to be with the ladies and to be able to be involved in those things by providing those opportunities for her to be involved, but not just providing for her to be involved. What else? You get involved with her. I'll tell you, one of the best things that going on in our ministry is couples serving together. Most of our Sunday school classes are couples that are taking the Sunday school class. And sometimes it's where they'll meet with them in a group and then she'll take the girls and he'll take the boys. But many times it's in the class where they're both working together to teach. We have couples that work in the nursery together. I think that's wonderful. I've even done that before, not at Tri-City, but before I was a pastor, at least once. I know that I did it once before. Not my favorite place to be. But, you know, to serve together as couples, to get involved together, finding places where you can serve together. I think one of the sad things about churches sometimes is you go to church and everybody splits. And you don't stay together as families. You don't minister together as families. You don't minister together as couples. But to be involved together in ministry, going out visiting together as a couple. And of course, many times you're visiting other couples, and so it's a wonderful way to be involved in ministry together. Get involved in ministry together. What else? Devotions. We've talked a little bit about that. Spending some time together in devotions. And hopefully that pattern will get started even here at camp. Having your own God and I time as individuals, having your God and I time as couples, and having your God and I time as families. Isn't it amazing that we'll spend 30 minutes with Rather? I hope you don't. I would rather have anybody than Dan Rather. But CBS, you know what I'm talking about. But whoever you might, isn't it amazing how we'd spend 30 minutes with some news broadcast, but we won't spend 30 minutes with the Lord? Or won't spend 30 minutes with our wives? Or won't spend 30 minutes with our family? I mean, what's really important? I mean, all the bad news you're going to hear on the news? Or the good things that'll happen, the good news that comes when you spend some time sitting and talking with your wife and talking with your children? You know, we need to make sure that we're setting the pace and edifying her. I think one of the good things that you can do is to go to the couples retreats and go to the family camps and go to the special sessions that you're having at church, and you set the leadership. It's not the wife saying, "Hun, could we go? Hun, could we go? Hun, hun." I mean, wives want the edification in their lives. And sometimes we men are the ones that are kind of the ones that hold it back. Praise the Lord for what you're doing even this week in being here. That's a part of this whole matter of loving our wives, giving ourselves to our wives through edification. We need to bless our wives and by complimenting them and encourage them. We need to edify our wives by getting them involved in spiritual ministry, getting them involved in the Word of God. Number three, S. We need to share with our wives. We need to share with our wives. How many of you come home from work and your wife asks you a question something like this? "Hun, what'd you do today?" How many of you have ever had that happen? How many of you feel like saying, "A lot, and I don't want to talk about it"? I tell you, that's why I've been through it once. I don't need to rehearse it again. No, that's the way inside I feel. But you know what? My wife hasn't been a part of that. And I should be very thankful that my wife wants to be a part of my life. And she wants me to share with her. Tell me, what's going on in your life? What happened today? And so I've learned that it's very, very important for me to be ready to communicate my wife when I come home and share with her the things that have taken place. Now, to do that, I also have to share something else with her. T-I-M-E. Time. For me to share what's happened at work today, or for me to share what's going on in my life, you know what else I have to share? I have to share some time. Are you scheduled in your life? I find that most of us as men, if we want to get something accomplished, we schedule it. And we're used to a 8-to-5 day or some sort of work schedule. So, and in that, we have certain things scheduled in. Some of you even have your day timers. I mean, if you're really spiritual, you got your Franklin organizer or something like that, you know, and boy, you got everything scheduled out. Let me ask you something. Do you ever schedule time for your wife? To share time with your wife. I believe you need to communicate with your wife every day. So maybe we ought to schedule in the most important relationship next to my relationship with Jesus Christ and schedule some time with our wives. One of the things you could do this week is sit down and look at your day and try to figure out a time every day where you can spend time together. Now, when we were newlyweds and we had children come in, you know, you seemed like you spent a lot of time as newlyweds. Boy, you were so just excited about it. Then the kids came, and what happened? You spend all your time with the children, and before you know it, you don't spend time with each other. You're spending time with the children, and then when the children leave, sometimes you say, "Hello, what's your name?" You know, you got to get reacquainted when they're gone. How tragic when that's the case. They say divorce happens in the first 5 years. If it doesn't happen the first 5 years, the next biggest time for divorce to take place is after the children leave the home. Because a lot of couples have poured their lives into their children and they haven't learned how to love one another. Some of us are in that time of life. And I'm so thankful that my wife and I, we scheduled time to communicate with each other when the kids weren't around. You say, "Well, how'd you do it?" Our schedule was to have our children always in bed and, Lord willing, to sleep by 9 o'clock. Sometimes that meant you start the process at 8, and you know, you had several spankings before it happened, but it got to the point where they learned that they better go to their room and be quiet, or they were in trouble with Dad. And so we would spend from 9 to 10 o'clock every night. That was our communication time. We scheduled it in. My wife was counting on it. And we get the children to bed. Then from 9 to 10 o'clock, we would communicate with each other and spend time talking about a lot of things, planning things, and discussing things. And then at 10 o'clock, we enjoyed watching the evening news. I'm a news freak. You know, I just like to stay up on what's going on in the world in which we live. And so we'd watch the news from 10 to 10:30, and then we'd have our prayer time and go to bed. That was pretty much our schedule things. That gave us an hour in there where we could have scheduled time to communicate and spend time talking with her, where I could share with her, she could share with me. They need our time. They need our attention. And you've got to schedule it in for it to take place. We also would from time to time get a babysitter and just go out to eat. Now, our wives enjoy going out to eat. Why do our wives enjoy going out to eat? They don't have to cook. You know, they don't have to clean up. They're without the children. I like to eat at home. I mean, there's nothing better than a good old home-cooked meal, being home with just in my own environment and not have to sit around and see whoever else I might see. I mean, but our wives like to go out, so great. Encourage them, take them out once in a while, get them a babysitter, and spend time communicating. Have you ever been to a restaurant and just watched couples that are there eating? I sometimes thought, why are they wasting their money? Because here we are, we're sitting around communicating about them a lot of times because we'll be saying, look at that. I mean, here they are, that they don't even talk to each other. They're eating, looking around, and you think, how sad that they haven't learned how to share one with another in this time that they have away from their kids out eating. It's not just to get a meal out, it's to be able to have some quiet time when you can just focus on one another. We sometimes call it having dates. And I encourage couples as I do premarital counseling, I said, you've had dates getting ready for marriage, have dates after you're married. Continue to have those times when you just to get away, the two of you. The best thing you can do for your children is have a good relationship with your spouse. So make sure and have those times. Now, I found sometimes men have a hard time figuring out, what do I communicate about? This is hard for me to understand because I'm so much involved in the ministry, so much involved in people's lives. There's a lot for me to communicate about. But what are some things that you can talk with your wife about? What are some things that you can share with your wife that she loves for you to talk about? Hey, exactly right. What are some of the goals in our lives? What are some of the future plans? Even little silly things like vacations. Man, you know how much time you can spend talking about vacations and all the possibilities, and she'll go out and she'll come back with all kinds of things and want to know what you think about this, what do you think about that? Hey, what about this place? What about this? It's amazing how much time you can spend just thinking about future goals and future plans and things to get involved in. Hey, if you really want to have a lot of communication, build a house. I just went through that process. Now, if you really want to have some spiritual discussions too, you know, spiritual, you don't fight in Christian homes. You have spiritual discussions, sometimes disagreements a little bit. But I've said, give them a budget and let them work with the budget. You know, this is so all there is to it. You know, just so here's the budget. She'd always want me to. She always wants me to be able to talk about what this is. I don't care. You know, as long as it's within this budget, you like it, I'm happy. It's kind of. But she wants to talk about it. Great. Well, let's talk about it. Those are things you can talk about. What else? Your children. Talk about the good things, the bad things. What are the things that you need to help with? What are the things they're doing well? What are the things that they're not doing well? She loves to. She's with them all the time. We're with them quite a bit. But we're responsible. We better be asking, how can I help? What are some areas that need to be developed in the lives of these children? Communicate about the children. What else? Spirits of ministry. If you're ministering together and edifying one another, you're going to share with one another, what are you getting from the Word of God? What can we do more in our local church? What is the ministry that we're involved in, and how can we be more effective? One very important one nobody's mentioned. Finances. You need to share with your wife about the finances. She needs to know the budget. She needs to understand what she can do and what she can't do. Hey, go shopping, hon. Have a good time. Just don't spend any money. You say, what? Well, ladies, it's amazing. Ladies can enjoy going shopping, and they're going to enjoy it a lot less if they go spend some money and come home and find out they just busted the budget. Or if you're, you know, really spiritual, give them $6 and say, hey, you can spend it any way you want. You know, go out and have a good time. But if they need a dress, you need to communicate, how much can they spend on it? Much better for them to know up front. You'll find out that your wives will be very good shoppers if you give them some parameters. If you don't give them parameters, then they can create you all kinds of grief. It's amazing how they can save you money by spending money. Right? Hun, I saved you $50 today. How much did it cost me for you to save me $50? That's what I always want to know. Because, you know, you bought something if you saved me money. You know what my wife says to me now? She says, I know you, though. You prepay bills and everything, so there's no money in the checkbook. She reads the ledger. She says, that wasn't due till the 15th, and you paid it on the 1st just so you could tell me that there's no money in the checkbook. She's got me figured out. I do the same thing with the staff at Tri-City. Oh, sorry, the budget's gone. I know we prepaid for 3 years in advance, but, you know, what can I say? It's just not there. No, it's one of those ways that of talking about finances and talking about your job and the needs that you have there in your job and talking about letting them understand some of these expenses that you have that, you know, you don't just always see. They need to see the budget. You need to talk through the budget. One of the areas that I really work with newlyweds on is budgeting and finances. Because they say that, in Christian homes, the number one problem that's created in marriages is over finances. And sometimes that's because the husbands aren't given to the church and the wives are feeling because they're not tithing and they don't think they can. And the wife says they need to because I know I'm under umbrella protection. And here they're, you know, the Lord's not going to bless if they're not being faithful. And so discussions that can come on these kind of things and problems that can come. And you'll be surprised how our wives will respond if you will share with them about the finances. So number one, B, you need to bless her, encourage her. E, you need to edify her by being a spiritual leader, by helping her spiritually. S, you need to share with her, share your time, share your discussion, share your interests and your concerns. And then T is to touch her. You say, hey, finally, man, this is the one I was waiting for. Touch her. Yeah, well, I'm running it. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Touch her, expecting nothing more. Hold her hand without thinking you got to drag her to the bedroom. A lot of wives, the only time they get any physical touching is when we want more physically, and men are driven physically. And wives know it, but sad to say, some wives feel like prostitutes. Because the only time they get touched is when we want something more. My wife also says that we need to understand that men are microwaves, but women are slow cookers. She has these good illustrations, but it has helped me, you know, to understand women better. And if you have any struggles in this whole physical area, you need to get the book, What Lovemaking Means to a Woman. What Lovemaking Means to a Woman by Tim and Beverly LaHaye. The best little manual I found to help us men understand what the physical relationship means to a woman, because many times the men are getting total satisfaction and pleasure in the physical relationship and the woman is not, and she just feels like a sex object being used. And we need to understand how we can be able to love our wives, give to our wives, even in the physical relationship. As it can happen sometimes, a guy will be satisfied and the wife is just starting to come to a point of climax, and here it is that, you know, he's done, he's asleep. She's saying, man. And she was the slow cooker, and we still need to caress, and we still need to give love and attention so she can come to that place of satisfaction as well. And sometimes husbands aren't dwelling with them according to knowledge because they don't understand that. Another area that I had to talk to my boys about, because I was never talked about it. They talk about the lunch. That was the day before they were married. I took them out to lunch. And my daughter-in-laws thanked me for the lunch. Because that's when I explained to them some things that I had to learn after I was married in regard to the physical relationship about touch before, during, and after lovemaking. That sometimes a lot of husbands don't understand. That little booklet is the best one I've found that can really help in regard to that whole matter. But our wives would like to be touched, you know, when we're just like being with them. That we just like rubbing the back of their neck. We just love putting our arms around them. That we enjoy just being able to touch them, not expecting anything else, that we can enjoy being with them, and they respond to touch. Obviously, in lovemaking, they respond to touch too. We respond to sight. But a woman responds to touch. And by the way, that's why you don't touch any other woman except your wife. You don't want women to start to respond to you in touch. And sad to say, some men know what they're doing when they're touching other women. And it can create all kinds of problems. But we need to touch them and to show love and affection. My wife, likes me to just put my hand on her hand when we're praying. You know, like when a preacher's praying or somebody, we're sitting together, and just for me to put my hand on her hand. Now, I have to tell you, it doesn't really do that much for me. It's not like, whoa, we're touching hands. But I know it does something for her. She likes that. She's communicated that to me. So if she's communicated that to me, and I know if she likes it, then shouldn't I do it for her? If not, but by the way, I kind of like it that she likes it. And that's kind of how I get my reward, is that she likes me to put my arm around. We kind of joke when we're at home sometimes and I'm rubbing her shoulders or something. I said, is this non-sexual enough? You know, because she'll talk about non-sexual touching. You know, touching other places besides the places that I like to touch. You know, and those kind of things. And so I'll start there, and then some start to move around a little bit. She says, now, be careful. You could become sexual here. I said, that's what I was thinking. And we joke about it. Now, we have a good time laughing about it, but our wives like to be touched. They love, I see some of you holding hands, walking across the bridge. They love that kind of thing. It's not like you're expecting more in return out there in the middle of everything, you know. So, I mean, she knows that you're just liking being with her. And the way we show that is by touching them. And so we need to seek to try to touch our wives, but not expect more in that relationship. And when our wives aren't feeling up to more, don't be so selfish and self-centered that you have to say, well, woman, roll over. It's tough. I don't care what you think. You know, be sensitive. And love your wife as Christ loved the church. You see, you got to get to know your wife. Every wife is different. That's why you communicate about these things and try to have discussions. That's why I gave you this little exercise, so that as I hand these 100 ways to love the wife back to you, you can compare them with yours. And you can see how well have I known my wife in the past, and maybe you can get to know her a little better in the future so that you can love her.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope that the truths learned will benefit you in your spiritual walk with the Lord. Join us again tomorrow for our next sermon.